Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم أما بعد وقال تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجا والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما وقال تعالى وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا صدق الله العظيم. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I pick a topic which I'm sure not only me, all of us find it to be a hot topic, especially nowadays in the Western world. An idea that Islam oppresses women is a well-established fact in the Western society. When the media or the Western leaders portray the Islamic land, they paint a picture of a land where women is oppressed. Women are imprisoned in their home. Kids, the girls, women, they're not allowed to go to school. Women cannot go in the market. They cannot run their businesses, do trade, nothing. And worst of all, they're punished in public. I'm sure all of us witnessed that. They used to run that video that one guy is beating the woman after September 11 all the time. He's beating same woman all the time. It's like a video always running to portray that that's what happens in Islam with the woman. Unfortunately, some of us, some of the Muslims, also feel this way. And it became a very hot topic. The woman's right, became a hot topic, well debated topic. And this is where a huge, huge misunderstanding about Islam and the woman exists. In order for us to understand where this misunderstanding comes from, we need to look at how the community views about certain things. So the Western view about the relationship between man and woman is focused on what? Their focus is as a female and male relationship. In other words, sexual relationship. That is the view of the West. Based on this view, all their behavior emanates. That's their thought, that's their concept. If we look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings with two things. One is their organic needs, the needs, and the other one is instincts. Needs are something that if you don't fulfill it, something bad will happen to you. And these needs does not need any external stimulation or excitement. What are these? Simple things. Food, water, call to the nature call, right? If somebody decided, okay, you know what? From now on, I will not answer to any of these needs. I will not eat. Even if I'm thirsty, I'm not going to drink water. And I will not answer the call of nature. What will happen? The person will be very uncomfortable, and slowly but surely, it could perish, it could die. As I said, these needs does not need any external excitement. So if you're sitting, you're busy at work, or at home, or doing something, when you're thirsty or hungry, you have to stop what you're doing and go back and eat something. When the call of nature comes, you have to quit whatever you're doing. You have to go. So these organic needs does not need any external stimulation for us. On the other hand, the instincts are something that needs the excitement, the external excitement. In order to excite them, you need two things. One is the tangible reality. The other is the thought or association idea with it. And they need external excitement in order to get the instincts. So if you don't satisfy these instincts, nothing happens. I mean, you will be uncomfortable, but you will not die. You will not die with the instincts if you don't satisfy them. One of these instincts, our procreation instinct, sexual instinct. In the Western world, this instinct of procreation, they claim that if you don't satisfy this instinct, you will be uncomfortable, you will start to develop psychological issues, and you will basically develop mental issues, and it will start to hurt you, harm you mentally. That's the claim. With this thought in mind, they always try to stimulate this instinct of procreation. That's why you see unnecessary mixing between men and women in order to keep this going. You'll see the unnecessary mixing in the house, in the shopping malls, on the road, swimming pools, wherever you go. Because the idea behind it is that if you don't take care of this instinct, it will hurt you. Based on this, their view of man and woman is nothing but the sexual relationship. And then they say, okay, when they meet, you know, the human race will grow and all of that. Having said that, now, if we compare this with the Islamic view, as I already mentioned, we consider the instinct of procreation is not life-threatening. It will not kill us. And it needs external stimulus in order to ignite that instinct. We will not die. Now, let's look at the Islamic view of the relationship between man and woman. In Islam, the relationship between man and woman is looked at as what? Preserving the human race. Preserving the human race. This is the hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too, right? You will find many ayat in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about, that, you know, I have created your partner for you, for your tranquility, for peace of mind, and all of that. This is the Islamic view. So Islam, as we all know, Islam came with what? Sharia commandment, which obliged on man and woman. Islam granted woman hukuk, rights, and enjoined on her certain obligations. And Islam gave man rights, hukuk, and enjoined on him certain obligations. So both have rights and both have obligations. So in Islam, equality between man and woman is not even an issue. It's not even an issue in Islam. Equality. As a matter of fact, it's not even an issue which forms a subject in Islamic social system. On the other hand, we always see women's right, woman equality, because who created the system? In Islam, the system came from who? Me? Or from you? No. It came from the creator of all of us, for the whole world and everything, Rabbul Alameen, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who understand what our rights are. Most of us are professionals in here. And I know many of us are here engineers. So when we develop a product, we know the in and out of this product. Right? How you guys feel when some salesmen come from the sales team and start to tell you, explain you how your product works? Right? They said, okay, you know what? I created this. I know more about this product than you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we feel this way, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the, He's the Rabbul Alameen. He understands better what is good for us and what is not good for us. So the community I was talking about in the Western culture, the whole system is created by human beings. No matter how smart or how intellect you are, you will not be able to comprehend the whole idea. And by the way, who creates the laws and legislation are who? Mostly men. Mostly men. They don't understand. All, no matter what, how much they pretend that they understand all the needs and everything for the woman, it's not true. Because this is man-made system, it's bound to oppress and exploit women. On the other hand, the system that came to us is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of all alameen. So, if we, after having said all of this, what question comes to mind is like, okay, what is this Rabb gave the rights to women? What are the women's rights? And how Islam gives the rights to women? What is this? It is important for us to understand one thing before we go there. Is that the attack on Islam for treatment of women does not come from the Muslim woman. It does not come from the Muslim woman. It comes from who? Non-Muslim. Who does not understand Islam, first of all. And they have an outsider view of the whole situation. That is why they feel the need to liberate Muslim women from the prison, from the shackle of the family life and hijab. As I said, this is not the view of the most Muslim women. To prove this point, I will not use Islamic resources or anything. I'll take you back to a poll that was conducted by Gallup organization. And it was reported in New York Times, with the title, Muslim women do not see themselves or press, survey is fine. That's the title of this article that the New York Times printed out. It showed clearly the aspiration and concern of the Muslim woman. Their main concern, and by the way, this poll was done in multiple Muslim countries, in many different types of women in all walks of life. Their main concerns were the lack of unity amongst the Muslim nation. Lack of unity amongst the Muslim nation, violent extremism, political and economic corruption. These three things were their main concern. And by the way, these concerns can truly be addressed by true Islamic State. If we implement Islam, these three things will be taken care of, inshallah. The poll was analyzed, and who analyzed it, I quote here, it says, the hijab or head scarf and burqa, the garment covering face and the body, seen by Westerners as a tool of oppression, were never mentioned in the woman's answer to open-ended questions. It were never mentioned as oppression by this survey. And this survey also found that an overwhelming majority of the women in each country cited the attachment to the moral and spiritual values are the best aspect of their own society. There was one question in this poll. It says, what do you admire the least about the West? What do you admire the least about the West? And almost all women say that the moral decay of the Western culture, the relationship outside of marriage, the pornography, and they call this as the Hollywood image. And they said, this Hollywood image is degrading women. They regarded this, the Hollywood image, as degrading the woman. As you know, Islam is unique when it comes to treating the problem of man and woman. In a man-made system, as I mentioned, who making the laws? It's the men who are making the laws. And they're bound to make mistakes no matter how perfect a man is. We all know human beings make mistakes. So, let's look at this ayah about Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ahzab, ayah number 36, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not fitting for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any opinion in their decision. Why did I quote the desire? I'm trying to prove that whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran and Sunnah, it is not from human being. And it is not for us to make the changes in it. I cannot say, okay, you know what? This is not fitting in this century. I have to change the law. It was good 1400 years ago. In 22nd century, it will not be applied. I have to come up with a different idea and work. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. And all we have is good. But not only today, until the day of judgment. That's our aqidah. That's our belief. Every Muslim believes this way. So Islam recognizes the difference between the woman and man nature. And different in their role in the society. I'm going to present a few points that we hear a lot of objection about in the West, and see how Islam deal with them. The first one was education. You know how we always see in the media that they're not allowing Muslim girls to go to school, the schools are being burned down and all. What does Islam say about education? In a true Islamic state, before even I give you that example, let's look at what the hadith, I'm sure all of you know, the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَمُسْلِمًا. This is a Tirmidhi hadith, hadith number 74. The meaning is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the seeking of knowledge is fard. On whom? On Muslim man and Muslim woman. Seeking knowledge is not only for men. This is the misrepresentation of Islam. And this is a hadith, I even give you the number, hadith Tirmidhi. It's well known. In the schools, they teach this to the kids. On Sunday school, I'm sure you probably read or heard about this hadith. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلمة. فريضة على. So where is this idea coming that woman is not allowed to go to school or get education? As a matter of fact, woman needs to have high qualification, good knowledge. Because why? They are the primary source of our children. What is the first madrasa or school for our kids? It's the mother. Right? She's the one who's going to teach our kids what is right and what is not wrong. So now look at this from the Islamic perspective, Islamic state perspective. The obligation of Islamic state is to provide a good education, a good possible medical services for the citizen, and also a good judicial system for the citizens. If that's the case, we need to have what? We need to have a lot of Muslim teachers, a lot of Muslim doctors, women doctors, I'm talking about women here. So a lot of Muslim women doctors, women teachers, women nurses, woman judge, woman police officer, and so on and so forth. How are they going to be doctors and nurses without education? So this picture that the media present, it does not fit the Islam. Do you think is it due to lack of understanding of Islam or purposely portraying Islam this way? I'm not going into many more details, many more ahadith, ayat. Just a simple. This is the most commonly known hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is fard for women and men to get the knowledge. So now, that's the first thing we always hear the objection. Now look at the second thing. Second thing is the work. Oh my God, this is hotly debated thing that in Islamic countries, women are not allowed to work. Let's go back and look at, I just mentioned, in order for us to implement Islam and live according to Islam and Islamic state, we need to have women, educated women. Right? Doctors. If they're not working, who's working? Nurses. If they're not working, who's doing this? Teachers, judges, police officers, and all of that. This is work. What is the definition of work besides this? Right? We go to work. What are we doing as engineers and doctors? We call it what, something else? No, it is work. On top of this, Islam does not burden women to take care of herself financially. So she does not have to work to earn money to support herself in Islam. Whose responsibility is it to take care of the woman? Whose responsibility is it? Is hers, her sister's, her mother, as we see here in West? No matter what condition she is, she has to work if she wants to live, be happy. In Islam, the burden falls on who? The men. If she's married, it's her husband's responsibility to take care of all her needs. If she's not married, then whose? Father, brother, the male guardian. If she does not have anybody to take care of, then the responsibility falls on who? There is no male in her life. No guardian, no parents, no dad, no brother, no husband. And the responsibility falls on the state. The state need to take care of her if she's not working. If woman, she's working, she's earning money, what happens here if she earns money? She has to share with her husband. Both are 50-50 partner in life. Tell you a story. I had a discussion at my work. We were just talking about rights and all of that. Then one conversation led to another, and we started talking about rights of women, as always, right? So some other women joined, and they saw me, you know, a guy like this. Sure, he's gonna talk about something wrong, and he doesn't want it. So they came very strong and said, you know, it's a woman's right to work. And we are free to do whatever we want to. I said, okay. I said, okay, what do you do with all the money you earn? Me and my husband take care of it. I said, oh, you can't keep your money? Oh, no, I give my check to him. I don't know what he does with it. I don't control any of my finances. Oh, okay. So he does, I don't know anything he does. Oh, okay, good. What else happens to your finances? You know what is happening with your finances? Oh, no, I don't. I said, okay, you work all day, 8 days, you know, 7 or 5 days a week, at least 8 hours. When you're an engineer, you cannot work 8 hours. You have to work more than 8 hours, right? It doesn't work 8 hours no longer unless you're working in a factory. So I said, okay, what do you do after you get home? Oh, I go, you know, cook, clean, I take care of my kids and all. I said, oh, good. You're being a good mother. I said, yeah. What does your husband do? Oh, you know, he comes home, he eats, sometimes he washes the dishes and all of that. Oh, is it equal? You guys talk about equality? No, no, you know. Oh, then nowadays, as soon as I bring that point, equality, they kind of like, oh, this guy is going to take me somewhere else. No, no, you know, in order to run the house, we need to be, both need to be balanced. Okay, good. Hey, if you get pregnant once, the next time your husband gets pregnant, equality. How does it work? Equality. You're supporting him. You cook for him. You clean for him. You do everything for him. What he does for you? Oh, no, you know, he helps me buy things. If you were working, you could go buy your own shoes, your clothes. You're paying for your own car. Where's the equality going? Conversation ends right there and then. I said, okay, I know where you're taking this. I don't want to talk it no more. They're fooling the woman. In Islam, if woman works, her husband have no rights over her money. Her husband have no rights over her money. If she's investing, you know, she have a lot of wealth that she inherited or whatever, men, if she gives him permission to maintain her finances, then only he can. He cannot run it with it. He cannot use it. Not only her husband, her parents too, father or her brother, whoever the male is. They cannot. However, she's obliged to do what? She's obliged to pay zakah. She is obliged to pay zakah. And the non-Muslim woman who's living in this state, in Islamic state, she does not have to pay tax. So whatever she earns, she keeps it. That's the beauty of Islam. Where is this coming from? It's coming from the Creator. The Creator who created all of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Okay, so that's the answer to objection of working in Islam. Now the third thing we always hear, government, Muslim women are not allowed to be, you know, participating in the voting. They have no rights. They cannot, you know, run for election. They can't vote, nothing. You hear many, many things like this. In Islam, actually, in the Islamic State, women are obliged to raise their concern. They're obliged to raise their concern, their political opinion. They even can complain about the government, the Khalifa. As I mentioned, they can be judges. They can be the head of government departments. They can be the member of Majlis al-Ummah. As a matter of fact, just to give you guys, I'm not just saying this, there is, at the time of Hazrat Umar, he appointed Al-Shifa, was the lady name. He assigned her the head of the market. She was the head of the market. Anything goes wrong in the market, she was responsible to handle it. Any violations, anything in the market that goes wrong, she was the head of the market. So she used to take care of all those issues. So this is not something I'm just saying it. As I mentioned, I've been saying that, you know, women need to be judges. How do you become the judge? Right? So all these things that we hear about, it does not matches what actually true Islam is. Whatever the media is presenting about the Islam and the woman in Islamic state, it doesn't correlate. It doesn't line up to what the true Islam is or what the huquq Islam gives to the woman. Now, the another hotly debated topic is the family life. They keep showing, you know, honor killing happening, the domestic violence, the mistreatment of women, and all of this. Where do they show all of this is happening? In the Muslim world. I'm not going to quote the stats. If you just go Google, the abuse is being done on the woman. You don't have to go look for the Holy Answer. Just look at in Chicagoland. The stats is off the chart. It's off the chart. In Islam, it's completely prohibited to hurt a woman. I quote you a hadith again from Tirmidhi. Prophet ﷺ says, the one who has the most perfect iman, the belief amongst you, is the one with the most beautiful morals. The one who has the most beautiful morals is the best among you. And the best of you is the one who is best to his wife. The best among you is the one who is best to his wife. And in another hadith, Prophet ﷺ says that if the woman does, you know, anything wrong, we are not to raise our hands. In Islam, it's prohibited for us to raise our hands on the woman. Not like what they show in the media. One time I was driving right here on Army Trail Street, right? I see a car right next to me, a man and a woman, and this guy was punching the woman. I mean, like a knockout type of punch. I was shocked. I didn't know what to do with him. And the woman was bleeding, and she's crying, and she's also trying to scratch him and everything. So, subhanAllah, this is the civilized state, country. This is my own personally eyewitness example. But if you Google it, you will see horrible, horrible images of how a woman is being abused. In Islam, if she does something wrong, if she missed the faraiz, the worst thing, the worst punishment you could do is that, you know, the miswak, you could touch her cheek, and that's the highest punishment. Prophet ﷺ says, okay, if she's not listening to you, you have to stop talking to her, so she goes back and do her faraiz. If she's not, still not listening, so you separate your bed with her. And the worst thing you could do is touch with the miswak. You see the miswak. I'm not talking about the big pipe or big cable or a big stick or anything. It's just a miswak. How big can you have a miswak? Have you guys seen the big roller miswak? No, it can't even fit in your mouth. Most of the time, it's my miswak is what? Tiny little thing that you put in your pocket. That's the worst thing you could do. And that's the highest punishment you could do. Where does this match again? I'm keep bringing this point so we see that whatever the media and the West is portraying about Islam, it does not match with Islam. It does not anywhere connect. And unfortunately, many Muslims feel this way. I shouldn't say many, some. Some Muslims feel this way. That's why you see they're trying to do all kinds of things to show, no, 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 Islam is not this way. You don't have to defend Islam. You don't. Just present the Islam the way it is. That's it. Now, they also complain about what? The rule of law. They said, you know, in Islam, men are treated equally as women when it comes to hudud. They always bring this adultery punishment. Huh? So there is no leniency between men and women. If you get caught, and there were four witnesses. By the way, you know, the zina, if somebody is saying that they witnessed the zina of a woman or a man, they need to bring four witnesses who actually saw the act happening. So they're supposed to see the actual act. I'm in the masjid, I don't want to give you details, but I'm sure you all understand. They need to see the eyewitness, they have all four of them. They saw the act happening themselves. If they're not able to prove it, look what the Quran says. In Surah Nur, ayah number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're not able to prove him, lash 80 times to the witness, if they're not able to prove it. And do not take them as a witness ever again, rest of their life. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. In another ayah, Surah Nur, ayah number 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the person who tries to accuse somebody without proving it, they will be cursed in this world and hereafter. It's not a joke. Your whole life and all your hard work, all your deeds are ruined. It's not a joke. Another point they bring is that the woman, witness, it's a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not, again, we didn't create this. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the way, none of the women object to this, that, you know, one man compared to two women as a witness. Why is that? In Islam, we have the separation of men and women, right? They have their own activities. They're involved in their own things. Most of the time, crimes happen where the men are. Right? Most of the time, crimes happen where the men are. So if a woman saw it, she's not familiar or whatever is the situation is. So that's why they ask to have two. And again, this is just a human explanation. But the hukum is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It didn't came from me or you or anybody else or the big shuyukh. It didn't came from me. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And none of the Muslim women object to this. Because this is a hukum. It's the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So this is also an objection with no basis to it from the Sangha. Now, having said all of this, the last point I want to bring is the hijab. Women are allowed to do all these activities, but they need to be in a certain way. It's again, it's not coming from any of us. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find ayahs in the Quran. I'm going to recite one ayah from Surah Nur, ayah number 31. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَيَذُرِبَنَّ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جِيُوبِهِنَّ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and draw their head scarf and over their neck, and you know, جِيُوبِهِنَّ jilbab, the full covering. And there is another ayah, Surah Ahzab, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. So this is, again, it's a hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's coming from not me and you, not from any shuyukh. It's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the woman go in a public place, when she's dealing in the market, right, when she's trading, or when she's renting, or she's going to school and all of that, there is a libas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for her, which is the khimar, the head scarf, and jilbab from the bar. There are different opinions that you have to cover your hand and the face, and there is many ahadith, the opinion that says that you can show your hand and your face. I could quote you one with the Asma. She came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she was wearing light clothes. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around and said, Asma, do you know that when a girl reached her puberty, she cannot show herself except, and he pointed her hand and the face. That's it. But if somebody wants to follow the opinion of covering the face and everything, it's up to them. There is no restriction, no you cannot, or the other way. They both are opinion in Islam. This is, again, coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, again, Muslim woman does not have any objection to that. As I quoted at the beginning, the Gallup poll that was reported by the New York Times, that none of the Muslim women complain about hijab or jilbab or anything. For some reason, West is obsessed with the woman hijab, and in general, the woman clothing. Go figure. Right? But the woman, Muslim woman, they do not have any objection to any of this, because they know these are the hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so they can get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and hereafter. Before all of these, you know, media, West media, Western media, they jump into conclusion about Muslim women, I think they should first ask what the Muslim woman wants before coming to any conclusion. As I mentioned already, the Gallup organization, they did the survey. You can go and read it, how what Muslim woman reaction was. Their concern was not the hijab or jilbab or any of these things. Their concern was Muslim unity. The violent extremism and the corruption in political and economic system. And these things will be addressed, truly addressed by true Islamic state, where Islam will be implemented to the teeth. Only then these issues will be handled. I'll conclude with the ayah from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَّمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَارِ نَسِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَسِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. The translation of meaning of this ayah is for men there is a reward for what they have earned. For men, there is a reward for what they have earned. And likewise, for women, there is a reward for what they have earned. With this, I conclude my talk for today. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. If you guys have any questions, you can ask me. I'll try to do my best to answer them. And if I don't know the answer, I'll try to find any information. If you don't have any question, jazakallah khair for listening to my talk.
For hijab, there's a misunderstanding here. They say hijab, some our Muslim people, they say it's only twice. Twice may be all.
What, twice?
Hijab.
Hijab is what?
It's a choice.
Choice. No, I just...
It's a choice or it's an order?
It's an order. I just recited the ayah. Right? There's two ayah I recited. Yeah, one is Surah Ahzab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minina yaduluna alihna min janabihi. O Nabi, tell your woman, your wife, and nisa'il mu'minin, the woman, Muslim woman, to cover themselves. Put the jalabibihin jalbab. So the translation goes like, jalabibihin, what is the jilbab means? The covering that goes from top to bottom. So it's not, you know, it's a choice, it's a hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another ayah in Surah Nur 31, وَلْيَضْرِبُنَا بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جِيُوبِهِ. Again, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, put the khimar, khimar is the top covering, and the jilbab is the bottom. So whoever say this, you know, all this opinion comes, if we really want to understand this, if we look at where the confusion came into Muslims, is when Muslim lands were exposed to the Western culture. What happened when Western civilization, you know, Western culture was emerging in the Muslim land, people was dazzled, was amazed by the material advancement that was happening. They were mesmerized by all this material gain, they were doing their advancement. So people got too much impressed and they start imitating. They start imitating and thinking that they will reach the same advancement without even thinking the material, you know, the culture is the way, the point of view of life, how they look at things. The material is a different thing. But many of the people, they start just imitating. And they went into two extremes. One extreme was, you know, we can do whatever we want to. Woman is allowed to go and be in a qilwa. Qilwa is exclusion. But with the men, if she chooses to, if she wants to. And she does not have to cover any of her awra when she go out. I mean, like, however she wants to go out, she has the freedom to do it. We can one extreme. I just quoted the ayah. Allah says, no, you have to cover. She can stay at home however she wants, you know. She doesn't have to. She can show her charms, what not, in the house, in her private life. But when she go out, it's mandatory for her to put the khimar and the jilbab. The other extreme went, they said, woman completely, whole, is awra. So she is not allowed to do any transaction. Because now, when this extreme happened, they said, we need to defend. We need to defend our culture, we need to defend our idea. They said, okay, everything is awra. So woman is not allowed to go out, and they don't have, you know, nothing. This is not what the Islam is, as I quoted the hadith. This is where the misunderstanding came in, and people say, no, this is a choice. They are trying to justify themselves, their actions. And you're a human being, they do whatever it takes to feel good about themselves, or to somehow legitimize their actions. And they do it. They come with their frame. It says, here is my frame. Can you fit the Islam in it? Whatever breaks, break it. Don't let my frame break. That's unfortunately the mentality nowadays.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. You're right. You know, there's a huge issue. I don't want it to go otherwise. We would be here for a very long time if I start talking about the issues. I said, the chart, you know, the stat is off the chart. I wasn't joking. It's truly, that's how it is. There are so many issues, subhanAllah, that if we start looking at it, we'll be, you know, you start to get depressed. You know, how they treat the woman, the sexuality and all of that. It's basically all it boils down to what? The laws that unfortunately all of us living under is a man-made law. It bound to have mistakes and shortcomings in it. It was not made by the Creator. As you mentioned, you know, in Islam gave women the right way before any other religion gave, right? At the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like he was saying, we had the woman scholars. Biggest, one of our biggest scholars is Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha. At the time of Uhud, a woman, her name was Umm Amara, she was battling with Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She got hurt with one hand, she tied that hand, and she was, so Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wherever I look at her, I see her fighting. Umm Amara. And the one you mentioned is Hanat bin Udba. She's the daughter of Udba. She used to be the fierce against Islam. She was really tough. She is the one who had Hazrat Hamza killed, Wahshi, the lady who counted Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar, the story goes like Hazrat Umar was getting a little bit fed up with the mahar of a woman. So one day he stand on the minbar, he said, okay, you know, this is going out of control, the mahar of a woman, so I'm going to put a limit, this is it. So at that time, they said, the Hanat bin Udba, she was old. She got up and says, Umar. And you know, we all know about the Umar. So I'll just give you a little picture of Hazrat Umar, how he was. They said he was very tall and muscular. One time he was walking on the street, and Hazrat Umar was a Khalifa, right? And there's many hadith, so I don't want to go into long conversation. He was walking with Hazrat Ali and other Sahaba, and he felt a noise in the back. You know, as a natural reaction, you turn around and you look at it. When Hazrat Umar looked at it, there was a pregnant woman walking behind them. As soon as he turned around and looked at it, she had a miscarriage with the haybat of Hazrat Umar. That was the personality of Hazrat Umar. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, wherever, you know, Hazrat Umar go by, shaitan will go where he will go in from different street. Says, whenever shaitan see Hazrat Umar, his whole day will go bad. Just looking at Hazrat Umar. That was the personality of Hazrat Umar. He's standing in the minbar. He's making this law. And look, an old lady, Hanat bin Udba, she gets up and says, you have no rights to limit anything in this because this is the haqq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. This is the haqq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. What are you talking about women rights then? He was who? He was not a common man. And I tell you, he was the leader, he was the Amirul Mu'mineen. He was the Khalifa of a huge nation at that time. Islam was not only the Medina at that time, Hazrat Umar. It was already went all the way to Baytul Muqaddas. Right? And this is the rights that Islam gives. Jazakallah khair for going in there. Any other questions? Okay. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.